Welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. Here, you're going to find education, entertainment, and a little inspiration on how to get to the next level. Are you a DJ company owner that's looking for the secret sauce? Congrats, you found it.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. I'm your host, David Osborne, with BlueprintLearn.com. On today's podcast, we have my friend, Troy Adams, from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Troy.
What's going on, David?
Look at that. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the studio audience, baby. Now, Troy is the owner of Carolina DJ Professionals. If you want to shorten that, it's Carolina DJ Pros.
That's right.
Unlike what I like to say, which is Carolina DJ Pro, but it's Pros. He's the creator, founder of Make Your Business Dance, which is Troy's education platform for speaking and coaching, and is a current soccer dad, which I think is possibly the best credential that you have right now.
Oh yeah.
It's a great credential. The really cool thing is that if you're plugged into the mobile DJ scene, like you go to conferences, you pay attention to Facebook groups, you've seen Troy's face and you've probably seen or heard some of Troy's message. I feel like you're one of the most prolific, diverse speakers that is in our ecosystem, because I feel like you can speak on so many different topics.
Oh, dude, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. I recently got to hear you speak about time management. I've heard you speak about recruiting. I've heard you speak about so many different business topics. I think of you as a very accomplished businessman.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
Do you feel like that's part of your identity?
Yeah. And it took me a long time to kind of find that space, I guess. And my dad is a coach and my mom was a teacher for 45 years. And so it's like in my blood. But yeah, I love being a DJ, but I love the geeky side of stuff too, right? I love running a business. I love all the data. And I'm a man of many passions, I guess. Like, I just want to learn everything. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that the love of the business side is on leading people and shepherding people on that side, kind of like with your parents, with the teaching and the coaching, and that it's that part that's coming out? Or is it more on the building and the you know, it's just like with DJing, the more you put into the craft, the better the parties, but there's a lot of one-to-one work to result ratio.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a hard choice. Because I love them both. I love the people
both.
Side of things. And to me, they go together, right? It's building people. And so I always tell my team that, you know, my team members who manage other people, that it's going to be their greatest reward, but also their greatest challenge is building and leading people. And then I had a short stint as a project manager in construction, and it's just fun building things, right? Like seeing something created, not to mention, right, what it does to your life, being able to improve your life and impact others. So I don't know if I could choose between either one of those. I love them both.
I think that's okay to have both. I think it's building people is right where it's at. I think that makes sense. And if you build, because that's really what building a strong company is all about. It's building systems and building people to work with those systems to make the healthiest company that you can. So if you are interested in both, I feel like that's going to keep you enjoying what you're doing while you're doing it. Because I think a lot, I'd say the majority of the people that I talk to in our industry don't like that part of things. They're like, it's almost a means to an end. Like, I'll do this if I have to.
Yeah.
But if you really enjoy it, you know, then I think you're going to go pretty far.
Well, one of my favorite lines, I guess, or describe myself whenever I do any type of talk is I always say I'm a walking conflict. That, you know, I love data and systems, and I've always been like that. If you give me a manual to put something together, I have to read it front to back. I have to do it all and do it just once and get it right. But on the flip side, I love going 100 miles an hour and people and feelings and hugging it out. So I guess that kind of has come out in my business too, because I love the systems and I love the people and I love the process and I love the chaos. It's like I love both sides of it. And sometimes it gets the better of me, but you know.
Oh, dude, that's so cool. And I think there's a lot of parallels between the way my brain works and the way that yours works. I think sometimes we all have an addiction to chaos.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, I think that's something that I'm currently working through. I like being in chaotic environments. I like to make sense out of chaotic environments.
Yep.
It's a skill set of mine, but it doesn't mean that I want to be making, I don't know if I want to be doing that. It's just something I naturally, I find myself in that situation a lot. Well, Troy, you are, I think one of the things I first learned about you when I first heard your name, the sentences were like, oh, Troy is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was like, oh yeah, I know some people in Charlotte. I know Recise. I know Brian Hines. Yeah. Charlotte's not that far from me. It's a 3-hour drive for me. It's not, I get to go through South Carolina and then I'm there. And then in the same conversation, other people were like, no, Troy's not just in Charlotte. Troy's like everywhere. It's what's not just Charlotte DJ professionals. It's Carolina. And there's a reason for that. Tell me, like, where are you all?
Yeah. So home base in Charlotte, and then have a team in Asheville, North Carolina, and a team in Charleston, South Carolina. Almost added a team to the Gulf Coast, the Panhandle Coast of Alabama late last year because I had a DJ that was going to move there. And I said, let's start a division. So that didn't happen. He moved to Charleston instead. I said, great. Yes. You're staying somewhere. Charlotte, Asheville, and Charleston.
If you had a DJ that moved to the Panhandle, would you still call that division Carolina DJ Professionals, or would it be Floribama DJ Professionals?
That was the challenge, right? Because right now, Carolina DJ Professionals, it's easy. It's all in the Carolinas. And we're like, ooh, we've got to change a name. We can't pull from the same list of reviews on the Knot and Wet and Wire, for example. Like, we have to have all the same processes, but a whole brand new entity, so to speak. And so we were going to be the Gulf Coast DJ Professionals. We toyed with Gulf Coast DJ Professionals or Coastal DJ Professionals. And so we were torn on that. But yeah, we would have had to kind of start all over, similar logo, but new, right? So on one hand, I'm kind of glad that didn't quite happen, but it's in place if it ever does. So
I think we need to start a company together called 30A Party, and we'll just make that happen. It's like the vacation spot of everyone in Alabama, Georgia.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Florida. Check back with us in a couple of years and see if it happens. My money is on that it's not. But you know what? Anything can happen. Okay, so you got branches. Now, those are pretty different markets. So Charlotte's a pretty big city.
Yep.
Asheville's got its own vibe. All of us Southeasterners know Asheville pretty well. It's a prill. It's a mountainy. It's kind of like being in, it's like the best we could get close to being in Boulder, Colorado, but in the Southeast. It's a chill vibe. Yeah. It's mountains everywhere.
Yep.
It's relaxed. There's breweries everywhere. And then Charleston is like one of the top places for weddings nationwide. It's like a super destination market where if you are a bridesmaid and you want to go on a bridesmaid's trip and you live anywhere in the South, it is going to be Nashville or Charleston, or you're going to Mexico probably. So these are like hot destination markets, but all so different.
Yeah, very. And I think, they're both in like top 10 destination markets, Asheville and Charleston. And yeah, really different, right? You've got Asheville, you've got a really wide range of clientele from, the high end weddings at places like the Biltmore to, your rural farm wedding. And then Charleston, you've got a lot of, obviously old heritage and a really kind of, let's say, for lack of a better word, clicky, group of people and a little harder to break into. So they all have their different challenges. It's been interesting for sure. Yeah.
So this, since you have so many different brands, I think it's reasonable that anyone listening would expect that no one person could effectively run three branches of the same company in three very different markets all on their own.
No way. No way.
Talk to us about the on-site leadership of each company. And, let's just talk like from an org chart perspective. Troy's CEO, I imagine. Where does it go next? Are we going directly to site leaders, or we have something in between? How does this kind of work with you guys?
So it's funny. You have talked about this off camera. And so it's three, I have basically three layers below me. So first layer is my directors. And so I've got a sales director, a business development director, an operations and staff director. And then what I call our TBKAV director, trivia, bingo, karaoke, AV, a little bit of everything. And so those four directors, they report to me. That's who I manage. And then they manage five managers. So they manage a photo booth manager, a Charleston division manager, an Asheville division manager, and then two team managers in Charlotte. And then the final level is each one of those managers manage 3 to 5 staff. So photo booth manager, 3 to 5 photo booth staff, each DJ, Asheville, Charleston division, and two Charlotte team managers each manage a team of 3 to 5 DJs. So that's kind of our layers. And okay. It's been amazing. Somewhere along the line years ago, I read, it's somewhere you should never manage more than like 5 to 7 people. And so I always try to hover around that 5 number for my goal of who I manage and who they manage.
I think that's super sage advice. 6 is like the golden number that you should never cross over with group work, because the number of opinions and the number of social dynamics just explode. Do you find that have you had more than that and it's not gone well?
I think early on in the building of this, when I had way too many people, 15 people, whatever the number was. And then my first person that I trained to bring on, who's now my operations and staff director, Jeff Smith. And so when I hired Jeff and then I started training him to onboard new DJs and manage new DJs, all of a sudden he had like 15 DJs at one point. And, we didn't do a good job. I didn't do it. And he didn't do a good job either the first time, right? Because it's unrealistic to try to manage that many people and manage them well. So, yeah, definitely took some learning there and definitely took some patience of, okay, we're going to get there. Just hang in. I had a DJ last year, one of my directors who was managing 9 people at one point. And I was like, just hang in there. We're all going to pitch in as we get this next person onboarded and get that number back down to 5. So, yeah.
That I imagine that you are swimming in systems.
Yes. Oh, yes. You're
like Scrooge McDuck in your vault of systems swimming around. I don't even know anything about your operations, but I'm just assuming that you've got some sort of portal system or something where you got a place to go to get things. I'm not even going to ask you yes or no, but I'm just going to say, like, I imagine that it's happening.
I'm big on simplicity. Like, I love my systems, but yet, right, sometimes I have a habit of getting lost in too much. And so for my team, we have a staff page. We have a private staff page where they can go and then get resources to everything. And then all those resources live in Dropbox. So that staff page links to, let's just talk about equipment. There's a folder with every manual for every piece of equipment there is, videos for how to do everything. They go to the staff page and they click, I want to watch this video. I want to find this manual. Oh, what is the RGB color for amber on uplights again? Oh, bam, there it is. And then same thing with my managers. All our operating document is a live document in OneNote. And so everything is written in there. And then it all links to everything on a video in Dropbox of how to do this. Don't call me and ask me to do this until you've watched the video yet on how to do it. And then if you're still struggling, let's talk about it. So,
it's kind of like what I mentioned a minute ago. I think loving owning a company and managing a company and the work of the working on a business is not for everybody, because you have to build these things. And when you're the founder and the owner, unless you are just paying people tons of money on Upwork, which you still have to talk to them about all these things anyways, you have to be the first one to start building out these systems. Did you say that Jeff was your first full-time hire?
He was actually my second full-time hire, really close together. 1-1-2. Jeff, if you ever watch this and I made a mistake and you're number one, I'll make it up to you. They were like back to back. Quinn and Jeff were my first two people I hired. And oh man, I remember that first hire, talking to my wife about it, being like, ooh, that salary is coming directly out of our pockets, but we can't grow anymore. And we can't have a better life. And I can't stop working on weekends and I can't be at this and that and this and that, unless we do this. So, man, it was scary, but it paid off. Yeah. So Quinn and Jeff were my first two. Yep.
That is, there's some different science and math about these things, about knowing when you can have the bandwidth, have the margin to know that you have the money to set aside for a new hire. Because yes, it's going to come out of profit or it's going to come out of some place, but it's essential to be able to, you got to take a step back to be able to take five steps forward.
Oh yeah.
How do you, so when you're going to make a new hire, a full-time hire, like salaried hire, is there anything that you're looking for specifically to know that you can afford it?
As far, I mean, yeah, I'm again, huge on data and systems. So we've got, you know, weekly tracking data and monthly data of cash flow, profitability. There's, you know, a certain number I never want to go below. And so as long as I'm in a good place, I'm like, okay, you know, gotta make sure the money's there. But honestly, the money isn't the driving factor. I've had a couple times where I have, you know, pulled money out of retirement to be like, we got to get through this season or I can't do this without somebody else. You know, and then that's obviously a fun discussion to have with your significant other, right? To be like, what are you doing? This better work out. Like, no pressure. But yeah, you know, when somebody is, you know, I have systems on managing, I'm a big person. You've got to find a way to measure it. And so I have ways of tracking, like, is my team engaged? And obviously regular conversations. And, you know, if somebody's getting burnt out, or I can see that, like, when I was managing 15 people, or Jeff was like, hey, we're not doing a good job. You know, I send out anonymous surveys to my team where they're truly anonymous to say, give me feedback. How are you doing? Rate this on 1 to 5. Are you getting the support you need? Are you getting the direction you need? What do we need to change? What do we need to improve? So that's what drives the discussion for me, is what are my people telling me? You know, what are the results? Kind of that totality of data. And of course, gut feeling, right? And then hopefully the money is there to make it happen. So, but again, there've been a couple times where it wasn't, and I'm like, I got to do this no matter what. You know, I've got data to support it will work out, but it's still scary.
You got to level up. Let's go, Trey. The true responsibility of a CEO is what Troy is describing. A CEO's job is to cast a vision, move a company in a direction, and then make very high level decisions to shift the direction of a company towards more profitability and health. Let's talk about systems, and let's talk about, so you're using Dropbox. You've got systems that live in a place. I'd say many people can figure out how to build a system, but then those systems can get stale. Things can change. Mm-hmm. You might get new fixtures in that RGB color. Now you have RGBAWUV fixtures, and the codes are different.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to manage that. And I think, I'm not a fan of going back and redoing work.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
How are you managing updating systems when they need to be updated?
Oh man, that's a great question. And it's funny, when I hire people on board, I always tell them, hey, look, if you've got especially if I hire somebody that's had a, you know, right, been doing their own thing, DJing or working for another company or whatever, I say, hey, look, when you come on board, you have to buy into the way I do things. Otherwise you won't be happy and neither will I, but it's not the way I do things anymore. It started with the way I do things. Now it's the way we do things, because I don't make a decision by myself anymore. And I'm like, if you come in and you have great ideas, awesome. I'm not going to change it right away. We're going to put it through the ringer and we're going to vet it and see if it works. And if it works, absolutely. You know, this is in place now because of DJ so-and-so. This is in place now because of so-and-so. And so, well, you know, what started with me now is a collective input. And so at the start of the year, we basically forecast our plan for the year. Of course, I have a spreadsheet that lays out all our, you know, not just month, week to week and month to month, but year to year data. And then I have an average growth, for example, like, hey, our average growth for 5 years has been this number. So when we project our numbers for next year, we're going to take everything and times it by that, what our average growth is for 5 years, right? And then make sure we all agree upon it. And so we'll all agree, hey, can we get that number of weddings? Can we find that many, you know, DJs? And from everything, not just from the goals, but every process, do we all agree upon this? And so that's how we set the master plan for the year. And then I'm big on, we have a weekly meeting. I have a weekly one-on-one with my four directors. They have a weekly one-on-one with the people they manage if they're full-time. If they're part-time, it's a monthly one-on-one. And then I have a weekly one-on-one with all nine of my managers. And then we have a monthly team meeting with all our team. And so that's where we all, where it's a check-in, right? We're always looking at the numbers and the data, but also talking about it. Where are we at? Are we good? What do we need to change? And so their input is what drives it. Like I said, I don't make a decision anymore by myself. We decide upon it as a collective group of four or nine or 33. So that's how the systems come to be now and come to be managed. So I hope that, did I answer the question? That was a long-winded one.
No, I think you did answer the question really well. What I heard you say is you started building systems and you started by making all the decisions, but you recognized to achieve what I would call a pillar of scalability or business health, which is operational independence, you understood that you cannot be the sole decision maker by yourself forever. Yep. And you started looping in people at high levels and giving them the opportunity to fail.
That, and I went to a great talk last week about standard operating procedures and answering all those questions ahead of time. So like my team knows if it's X amount of dollars, don't call me, make the decision. Like you make it. If it's above X amount, let's talk about it. Or if it's urgent, I tell people, look, all I want to know is your reason. That I just want to know your reason. And if we disagree on it after the fact, that's fine. I'll never be upset as long as you can tell me what your reason was for doing it. And if we disagree or we're different, we learn from there. But right, because sometimes you've got to make decisions on the spot and I'm not there. There's no time to call Troy. And I'm huge on I want my team to be empowered. I want them to be invested. I want them to feel like they're running this company, not me. And so they've got to be able to make those decisions and be put in those places of succeeding and feel like I support them and I hear them. And so that's what's exciting too. And it's, you're right. You said it, they've got to fail. And this is going to sound so mean to say, but like, I don't want to say happy when they fail, but I'm happy for those learning opportunities. I used to always say with my DJs, look, I hope your first wedding, something goes wrong. I hope something goes wrong, little, that didn't ruin it for the day for the client, but that you said, oh, I can get through this. I can figure this out. I love the learning opportunities, but that doesn't happen unless you let some people take the reins and make some decisions.
You got to let people get out there and get their feet wet. And I think that's a good segue for just even DJ performance, like not even just on the business side of things, training DJs, getting people to get out there. Like the apprenticeship model of training is cool and everything. But I think when you can get people out there to fail earlier and fail and be comfortable with failure faster, you're going to find a faster way to train. Yep. And I think you don't really have the full respect to listen to the other team members that give you advice until you've had some serious failures. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to be like, next time you tell me about that hard drive, I'm going to listen.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think it's important. Okay. So we're starting to near the end of our time. So I think this is really important to talk about. You've just talked about your role as a CEO and how much time and energy you spend working on your business and all the things you've put in place to be able to empower yourself. I don't think you can be that level of a CEO while still performing, 50, 60, 70 shows a year. I think it's okay if you still want to perform that much, but I don't think you can be that level of a CEO at the same time. What was your catalyst to say, hey, I love DJing. This is a passion of mine, but I understand that I need to be doing this and putting my energy here.
First catalyst was when I met my wife. Yeah, when we met and ironically met at a wedding while I was DJing. But I was like, you know what? I don't want to work every weekend anymore. I want to go have a life with this person and spend time with her. And so that was the first step. And then I hired a few DJs from there. And then two became four and four became eight and so on and so forth. And then the second catalyst was kids, right? Being like, oh, I want to be home, which is a tough juggle, right? Because you've got to provide for them. And then you want to be, right? They can't do as much when they're younger. And so you want to be in a place to do more when they're older, but yet then you feel like you missed all these moments. And so it's a hard juggle, but that was the second, right? Like I tell people, hey, I wish I could have, wish I can totally say I did it on my own. No, I can't take that credit. Like my kids and my wife really spurred that on of like, oh, I don't have a choice if I want to be a good dad, a good husband, a good friend, whatever. And so, third would be there are other passions I want to pursue, but that, family was first, right? Like, I don't want to be burnt out all the time. I want to have a life and spend time with my family and spend time with my kids. Yeah.
We talk about this a lot in the Blueprint ecosystem, is the idea of like your strategic steps, right? So wherever you are right now today, if you take the time to really think about where you personally want to be 1, 3, 5 years from now, well, what changes in your business does that require for your personal journey? And a lot of people don't think about that stuff. And then when it gets to be difficult, when you have a 12 and 14 year old kid, I picked those ages because those are two of my kids' ages. Yeah, and you go, I didn't plan for this. You're in a real tight spot. So if you can try to think what's coming up, I'm going to buy a house, my kid's going to graduate from high school, or someone's getting married, like that can help drive your decision of what you want to do. And then, you know, I talked to Mike Walther on a podcast recently, and he went into the work on your business phase for some years, decided that he wanted to go back to doing 70 events a year. And I think that strategic steps and self-awareness is also awesome to know what's right for you. When it's right for you.
Yep. Yeah. So, for me, the biggest first step was I wrote a list. I wrote a list out of all my responsibilities and what I wanted to get rid of and who I planned to get rid of it to. And then I wrote a list of the things I wanted to keep. And I do it every year, right? Because it changes. Like, okay, well, I don't want to keep this anymore. And who am I going to give it to? And then how are we going to do that? And I had a talk last week, and after the talk, somebody was asking me this conversation. She was talking about systems, and I don't know how it came up, but she said, how many events did you do last year? And I said, we did 900 events and I did 5. And she was like, that should be your talk. I'm like, she's like, you didn't even say that in your talk. I'm like, oh, I didn't even. This year I have two. I have two gigs out of hopefully, you know, roughly over 900. But it took a lot of time to get to that. So
it sure did. And you are in, I would call them transitional years, because you have a lot of big stuff that you are getting off the ground. You're a celebrated speaker now. You're at a lot of conferences. You're involved with some different cohorts. You've got your coaching program. You've got a lot that you're doing. So this is, I think, a great way to end our time together. All the things that are next for Troy can be found where? How do we find you, and how do we learn more about what all you're doing?
Yeah. MakeYourBusinessDance.com is my coaching website. Carolina DJ Pros is my business website, and same handles on social, Carolina DJ Pros or DJ Troy Adams on social. And that's, I'm an oversharer by design. So you can probably find all you want there.
Fantastic. I'm not exactly sure what date this podcast is going to drop. I imagine it's going to be in April or May. So talk to us about what shows, what conferences can we definitely see you at this year?
Oh yeah. Let's see here. Midwest DJs. I'll be at Midwest DJs in April. I'm speaking to, the Society of Wedding Pros in Dallas in May. What do we got? DJ conferences, DJX in August. I'll be there in August. Be at Wedding MBA in November. And I know I'm leaving a few out. But pretty much, I try to be at one a month. That's my goal, is to be at one conference a month, or one, you know, organization, WIPA, NACE, ALEA, you know, some sort of organization. So yeah, and I usually throw those on social, again, overshare. So.
Fantastic, Troy. This has been a information and joy filled podcast today. We really enjoyed having you on. As always, to the listeners, we have free resources at blueprintlearn.com/resources. Troy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.